All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this resurrection day. He is risen indeed. And we thank you that we can gather here and study your commandments and then celebrate the resurrection. What a great day. The most important day in all of human history is what we are remembering, what you did for us. Now help us understand your word, which makes us more appreciate what you did for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, does everybody have, we are on commandment number 3. There are the handout, the note-taking guide is, they'll be the same one for the next 100 weeks. Okay, so just once again, the premise of all this, God's laws are for God's people to show the fallen world what kind of God they worship. We're to be salt and light. The law reflects his holy standards and demonstrate mankind's need for grace. We can't live up to those standards without grace. As his people, Christians, we reflect his glory. So the Big Ten are more for us. They are not just a list of standards to judge the personal morality of others, public or private. See, that's sometimes what we, well, you better live up to the Ten Commandments. They can't apart from Christ. So that's, we need to keep them in their proper perspective. And also the first 4 commandments are what we call the first table. These are more directed vertically towards God. So the third commandment, let me open with, what's in a name? Do you like yours? Growing up, did your name, hopefully your parents thought about your name, because did your name get you beat up in school? Anybody have any hurtful names? Any nicknames? Yeah, Georgie Porgy, put them by. And then her uncle calls her Chub. And in the Navy and Air Force, we had call signs, for pilots, which were usually quite creative and, in the Navy anyway, quite irreverent. So, Govan. Oh, you're just waving your pen. Oh. And so another thing of names, even say modern names for children. Okay, so Georgia. How many Georges do you know? That's a one special one. My Georgia peach. That's all I need too, huh? But that's an old-fashioned name that even Georgia, growing up, I don't really think she liked her name because that seemed like an old person's name. But look at what are the most popular names for kids today. Some of these, all these preppy, Stardust, Moonbeam. That's that, but that's a reflection of society. To quote Gerard Reed. That's one thing he always complains about if you've read his book. People always mispronounce his name. They call him Gerald instead of Gerard. And he gets a little snippy about that. But names really matter. And they are intimate in relationships. I'm sure those of you that, with spouses, you probably have pet names, just for a very intimate relationship. So turn to Exodus 20 and look at verse 7. Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. That word means, vain means emptiness or worthless. So you shall not lift up, carry, take. If you have the NIV, it's actually a pretty good. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord, his name in or with vanity, which means that's the big thing. You're not taking it lightly, or worthlessness, or emptiness, or falsehood. Okay, so the prohibition then is don't raise up Yahweh's name for no good. Which here's the gist of the matter. You're making light. You are trivializing his name. You're mocking. You are speaking of the Lord disrespectfully. Or to use him wrongly, here's a word for you, theophoric. Theo-God-phoric. Trying to appear godly. Do you know people that try to sound spiritual by using God's name sort of as a, you know, to show how spiritual they are? That's part of this, folks. Or idle, frivolous, insincere, like in oaths. We'll talk about that. But if you're taking an oath, you know, I swear to tell the truth and your hands on the Bible type thing. If you are knowing you're going to perjure yourself, no, no, no. Or treating him as if he doesn't exist. See, sometimes we, even the church, you know, oh yeah, yeah, God, 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 but we act like he doesn't even exist in our daily lives. But then this one has a punishment attached. It's not specified, but it is serious. So let me read you Jeremiah 14. Or Georgia, would you read it, please? Jeremiah 14, verses 14 to 16. Okay, so did you get that? Serious, you're, in this case, prophecy, but in God's name, and you're doing it deceptively, that's serious. And so that's just an example. God will not let someone get away without punishment, basically. That's what, if you have the New American Standard. So you're not clean, not pure, not innocent. So God's name is a very serious matter. So some comments then. In the ancient Near East, religious names were very important. Names, actually a lot of the pagan religions thought if you knew the secret name of God, you could control that God. So Bible names signify, if you ever noticed all the cool names that used to be names in our culture, no longer. You know, how many Zebediahs do you guys know? Probably not. One. And I just pat myself on the back. No, Georgia, for being so holy like we are. No, but all our kids, Rachel, Elizabeth, David, biblical names. Okay, but the name signified a lot of times the essence of the person. It's not just a label the way we use them today. You know, just names to call somebody a name. The name actually meant something. Their values, their character, their identity. So for example, Daniel, God is my judge. Michael, who is like God. Joshua, Yeshua, Jehovah is salvation. You know, so those names speak. And so God's name then is holy. Psalm 29 says, give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And so what we call, you know, when we say Yahweh, we are trying to anglicize what's called the Tetragrammaton. Tetragram, easy for me to say. But basically the consonants that spell Yahweh's name. Scott, would you read Exodus 3, verses 13 to 15? So the Hebrew letters are Yod. Yod is a letter. He, Vav, He. And so when we put the vowels in it, we pronounce it, or the nearest we, in, you know, in English, is Yahweh or Yahweh. So read that, please.
Exodus 3, 13 to 15. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Moreover, God said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'"
Okay, so remember that scene. That's Moses at the burning bush. Now go back to Egypt, and who should I say said to them? God says, "I am. I am who I am." So a lot of scholars believe Yahweh is based on the root for I am, the Hebrew word for I am. And that's God's self-revelation. You know, just like you get to name your own pronouns, God gets to name himself. We don't get to name God, which we like to do, don't we? Okay, so his self-revelation and that verb, I am, sort of emphasize, and he goes on to say, I am and I will be with my people. So his existence and presence. What a great name for God. He exists and he is present with his people. That's tied up in the Hebrew, you know, Yahweh. And just quick side point, Jehovah. What that is, it's basically a made-up name using the consonants of Yahweh and the vowels with some slight changes from the Hebrew word for Lord, Adonai. And so that we get the word Jehovah. And there are, you know, we know some groups that are very specific, you know, that, oh no, Jehovah, you have to say Jehovah. Okay, that's a, you know, another made up word, if you will, trying to describe the name of God. Okay, so how many of you have Dennis Prager's book? Okay, this is where Dennis Prager gets it wrong. And he gets very adamant about this, and this is a lot of times a Jewish thing. And you have to remember, Dennis Prager is not a believer. So ultimately, sorry, Dennis, I love 95% of what you do, but he gets this wrong because what he says is the real commandment is not caring, which is one of the accepted words for taking the name, but carrying, lifting up that name. You shall not carry God's name to commit religious evil. So that's the only way you can violate that, basically. And so he's very strict on that only when you are, you know, so of course he would say Muslims, when they cry Allahu Akbar, they are invoking God's name to do evil. And so then that allows, if you ever listen to Dennis, he always says, oh my God, he just, He won't say Yahweh. I mean, that's one thing Jewish people, we'll talk about that in a minute, but he has no problem talking about God, using it as a verb or whatever in a sentence, because he would say, I'm not violating the third commandment because I'm not doing evil with that name. See, I'm sorry, Dennis, you don't quite get it. A summary then, no attack on the honor and glory of the Lord. We're not taking his name in vain for worthless. Names mean more than we think they do. And God's name is holy, holy, holy. So we don't trivialize that. Some texts. Deuteronomy 6:13. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oaths in his name. So good oaths that are sincere, you can use God's name. That's serious. Leviticus 19:12. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. 2 Samuel 12:14. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord, Yahweh, to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall die. Remember that scene? That was David after his sin with Bathsheba. And part of the punishment was what you have done, basically not obeying me, not living up to, you know, a person who calls my name God. You have caused the other nations to blaspheme me. You know, that gets, you know, we could say today, we want to represent Christ in our lives so pagans don't look at us and say, yeah, well, I would go to church, but guys like Bill Bowles are there. And we all know about Bill. So, all right, Psalm 63:11. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory, but the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Psalm 139:20. For they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Kelvin, would you read Leviticus 24, verses 10 to 16? Leviticus 24, 10 to 16. This is more specific laws on the sanctified name of God.
Leviticus 24, 10 to 16. Now an Israelite woman's son, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the people of Israel, and the Israelite woman's son and a man of Israel fought in camp. The Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name and cursed. Then they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shilamith, the daughter of Bibri of the tribe of Dan. They put him in custody until the will of the Lord should be cleared of it. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring out of the camp the one who cursed, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And speak to the people of Israel, saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. Whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him. The sojourner as well as the native, who blasphemes the name, shall be put to death.
So, you think that's serious? They got stoned for it. And the Greek version, whoever blasphemes the name, in the Greek Septuagint, that literally means named, whoever named the name. And so the Jews then, see, will say, ah, they actually named the name. They spoke that ineffable name. And so that's why the Jewish folks sometimes are very literalistic. Dennis Prager. Oh, we can say God. We can say everything. We just can't say the Tetragrammaton. We can't say Yahweh. And see, that's sort of a very literalistic understanding of this. And so that's the Jewish practice of not saying the name. And so, but they will say God. All right, so Janet, would you please read Exodus 20, verses 22 to 26. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. So some of the ideas there, God's name, his presence, and you will, where my name is put for appropriate worship, his blessing. So his name is tied to his presence and his blessing. Okay, so that's just some verses, Old Testament. Any questions about that? You know, and a lot of that, of course, is very, very specific. You know, stoning, those were some of the civil laws of Israel. So obviously today the church, we're not supposed to stone people, hopefully, although I'd like to. No. So any questions about that? All right, so how about now the New Testament? James 5:12, but above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth, or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. I always get a kick out of, you know, when people are really lying, they'll say, I swear on a stack of Bibles. Okay, I know you're really lying now. Or I swear on my mother's grave. As God is my witness, don't do that. Romans 1:9. So now, and here's now Paul doing it the right way. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. And then sometimes this goes along with that, what we call theophoric, trying to sound more spiritual. So people that sometimes profess and they can put on a good show on Sunday. And I get that a lot when I'm, you know, say I'm on the golf course, you know, and people are playing golf and golf brings out a lot of anger. And then they find out I'm a pastor. Oh, I'm sorry, Father. And I have to remind them, I was in the Navy. I can teach you curse words. But Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name, and gone to church every Sunday in your name, and gave money and was baptized and sang in the choir in your name? Does your translation have that? That's only in the New King James. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Okay, so a few more texts. Peg, would you mind reading? Matthew 5, 37 to 33. Ben, would you, Matthew 12, verses 31 to 37. Trudy, Matthew 23, 16 to 22. Lauren, John 17, 6 to 12. And Scott, I'll get Philippians 2, 9 to 11. So first Peg, Matthew 5. verses 33 to 37.
Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Don't even swear by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just say a simple yes I will or no I won't. Your word is enough. To strengthen your promise with a vow shows that something is wrong.
Thank you. Very good. And did you notice that? The hair on your head. Some of you guys couldn't swear at all. All right, who has Matthew 12?
Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, but a blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. And whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Fruit of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word that they speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
Very good. I won't get into this, but that's that. What is the unforgivable sin? But notice how it's tied to blaspheming against the works of Christ and the obvious works of the Holy Spirit, and attributing that to Satan. It's a lot deeper than that. I don't want to get into that now. That's not the point. But notice how speaking the name and the Holy Spirit, who is God, right? All right, Trudy, Matthew 23. All right, so in that, Jesus is talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, hypocrites. Woe to you who make these big differentiations. You know, so they were good at saying, oh, if you swear by the temple, that's okay. But if you swear by the gold that's in the temple, that's serious. So basically making man-made levels to trivialize swearing with things that have to do with God. That's another topic we won't get into much, but once again, swearing oaths, do it right. All right, who had Janet? Do you have John 17? No, Lauren. John 17, 6 to 12.
All I have is yours, and all you have is mine.
glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scriptures would be fulfilled.
All right, so that is what, thank you, Lord. So that is what is called the high priestly prayer. But you notice that I have kept in my name the name you gave me. Very serious to who we are in Christ. Okay, and then finally, familiar verse, Scott, Philippians 2, 9 through 11.
Therefore, God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
The name of Jesus. Very appropriate. Today on Resurrection Sunday. So to quote Philip Graham Ryken, God's true name is chosen and revealed by God himself. We do not tell God who he is. Think about that. We're going to talk about that in a minute. He tells us. God has his own naming rights. I like that. And this is a sign of his sovereign authority. God's name comes before all other names. So it's a matter of reverence. How do we approach God? How is God's name being used then, ultimately? Sacred, the proper way, or secular? So to paraphrase the commandment so far, number one, we worship the one right God. Commandment number two, we worship that one true God in the right way. And then commandment number three, we worship with the right attitude about who that God is. So what? A Dutch scholar named Joachim Douma, he probably got beat up as a child, said, blaspheming and cursing the name of Yahweh are not exhausted by an improper speaking of the name. It's not just outward, you just can't say those words. It's an attitude. The issue lies much deeper. The matter is much broader than that, Dennis Prager. It is not so much that someone mentions the name of the Lord, but that he thinks, speaks, and acts disparagingly, with regard to him. It's not the words, it's the attitude of how you're treating what you're saying about God. That is what constitutes the essence of cursing and blasphemy. So what are some problem areas? The big ones mentioned in the Old Testament, especially sorcery, using incantations to control God. We have that today in other false religions. Sometimes, unfortunately, in so-called Christian groups, sometimes known as the Word Faith Movement, by saying the proper code, we could get God to bless us better. Man, I want to know that code. An example, I won't need it for sake of time, but Acts 19, verses 11 to 20, remember the silversmiths and they're the sons of Sceva in Acts. It's a funny story, but they started trying to control these demons in Jesus' name, come out. And the demon said, now Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you guys? And I mean, I just love that. And the word used, the demons lorded it over. All right, so another area, false prophecy, divination. You know, when people say, thus says the Lord, I've had that people tell me, what's that, Lord? I'm going to tell you now what the Lord said. Watch out for that. When a prophet, Deuteronomy 18, 22, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and you shall not be afraid of him. So today, sometimes do people, and I've had people do this to me, use those high-sounding phrases to boost their self-credibility. You know, I've had people come up to me, would you like a word from the Lord? And maybe me, oh, yes, please. Please. Or think of how many times God is on our side because we know how to use, control him properly. Not on those other guys' side. Another area that's sort of common, but oaths and perjury, where you are lifting up your hand to swear. You know, think of a courtroom today, where you give service to the lie. How many times, you know, have you been watching a trial on TV where, you know, do you swear to tell the truth, hold to them, so help you God? And of course I say I do. You know, if their lips are moving, I know they're lying. You know, that's, and that, God takes that seriously. You know, and that's for pagans. How much more for we who are Christians? So I would recommend, if any of you have to testify in court, and you raise your right hand, tell the truth, please. I don't want to do any more funerals. You know, that's where people, you know, well, so help me God. You know, and that's in the military. When Scott tries to tell me his flying stories, he'll say, well, so help me God. And he doesn't say that. But there I was. But then also, Marilyn, Mick, in marriages, in weddings, your marriage vows. I'm not going to challenge any of us, but how many marriage vows are made a sham of where during the ceremony, boy, is that all pious and nice, and even pagans want to get married in a church building, but they don't keep their marriage vows, you know, and the swearing before God and witnesses. This one's now a little easier for us, cursing. You know, and we expect it from pagans. And sometimes, you know, I, like I said, I was in the Navy. And so bad language doesn't so much bother me. But blaspheming, I feel dirty. And that's acceptable. If you ever notice on network TV, certain words are still prohibited, but using the Lord's name in vain, perfectly acceptable. And that's a sign of the times. How much more for us as Christians? And to quote that Dutch guy again, there's sort of an echo of biblical cursing. So pagans, you know, are sort of echoing. They don't even know why, but they are cursing God. And that's an ignorant symptom of their unbelief. The word profanity is just from a Latin term meaning profanus, before the temple. So you have sacred in the temple, and then you have profane outside before the temple. So profanity is something that, you know, is not appropriate in the house of God. Ephesians 5, Paul says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather of giving thanks. And to quote that scholar Gerald Reed, blasphemous language must have a deity to invoke. So, I mean, you know, yeah, that always tickles me that these pagans who claim to be atheists still invoke the name of the God they don't even believe in for their salty language. Okay, so now this will come a little more home to us. Taking God's name lightly. So, examples. Christian cliches. What trite little phrases that we have that we use that can sometimes, when I say bumper sticker Christianity, that's sort of what I mean. That, okay, you've brought God in his temple, if you will, down to the back of your car on the bumper. So t-shirts, bumper stickers, song lyrics. When we say the Lord's Prayer, what is one of the first words? Hallowed, holy be your name. We are consecrating or setting apart for sacred purpose. Now here's another one. Dishonoring. It can be dishonoring with theology and life. So empty, very shallow, shallow type theology where it's very simple and we've taken a holy God and we've made him into, a God of our own image, or the way we emote over it versus understanding. How many of you were at this service this morning, the sunrise? Ron Zaccagnini, you heard today a very objective, the importance of the resurrection. That's very objective and God-honoring, not all feely and it's all about us and what do we think. See, we have a lot of theology like that in the church. In other words, we don't walk the talk. We talk and we don't understand. Oh, yeah. God. But then we don't walk that. Psalm 116, verses 12 and 13. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. As Gerald says, we easily use words to shape God into our own image. I like that. Can you think of any others? That trivializing, that's sort of what most gets to the heart of the matter, that when we use God's word lightly, like a bumper sticker. See, that's, we can go through the motions and I won't say that word, but I'll sure treat God like a bumper sticker the rest of the week. Give me 3 more minutes here and I'll finish this up because we could be on this for a long time. So worship the one true God, lift up his name in worship, reverence, awe, majesty. Gerald, here, I got to quote him again. We become numbed to the majesty of what we proclaim. I like that. When we're singing songs, do you think about the words and the meaning behind them, or are we going through the motions? Today, for example, I confess I was bawling like a baby when David, who is the song leader, the little short guy with the guitar, was singing, "He's Alive." He did a good job, but it wasn't so much the music and his performance, but it was what was going on in the story. And Scott had to get me a box of Kleenex. I wanted to use his coat jacket, but he wouldn't let me. But also the name of the baptism, baptizing in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Prayer, here's a big one sometimes. Do you know people that use vain repetitions? That's part of the Lord's Prayer. Oh Lord, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, you know, or in Jesus' name, you know, I want to win a Cadillac in Jesus' name. So we are trivializing that name so I can win the lottery. So no presumptuous name dropping. I like that. It's, you know, you're not, this is a much holier God because my voice octave went down and I used the Lord's name. Oh, Heavenly Father. You know, which that's great, but don't go through the show. Salvation. How are any of us saved? We are saved in Jesus' name. Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. To quote Martin Luther, for you Lutherans, so Tammy, pay attention. Martin Luther said, to honor God's name is to use that very name in every time of need to call on, pray to, praise, and give thanks to God. And Gerald says, we call God by names that adequately describe him. We hallow his name by using it well, asking that he reveal himself to us as he really is, so as to evoke attention, our affection, our adoration. A final Psalm 8:1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Psalm 66, sing out the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And as Christians, when we say the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name on earth, in our lives, as it's being used in heaven right now. A little long, sorry, but hope you got some of that. Any final questions or? The Liberating Law. And it's under Gerard Reed. Don't look for Gerald. In fact, in this chapter, he mentions that. He talks about phone, you know, guys that are calling to sell something, you know, and how they purr. He says, and they purr, and they want to be your friend. And hello, is this Gerald? And Gerard says, no, this is Gerard. With whom am I speaking, please? All right, Kelvin, would you pray for us, please?
God, we thank you that we're able to gather here today to study your law, your word, on this your day of resurrection. We remember this and we pray that you apply these things to our hearts.